Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. Americans are getting older and living longer, and that means every year more and more older Americans need care at home, in assisted living, in nursing homes. But as the population ages, one big question is, who will care for them? One in four caregivers in those nursing homes, home care agencies, and assisted living facilities is foreign-born. The number's grown in the last decade, and that's not including the large number of home aides who work under the table. Well, immigration is changing in this country. And as President Trump and his administration crack down on both legal and illegal immigration, there's not a lot of attention on how fewer immigrants could affect how Americans age. Stephen Campbell is a policy research associate with PHI, a nonprofit research and consulting group. Stephen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've done some research here on the role immigrants play in the home care and nursing care industry. Break it down. Just how important are immigrants in caring for America's elderly?
So immigrants have a very large role in caring for the nation's older adults and people with disabilities. That stat that you just cited, that one in four workers is an immigrant today, is a pretty big shift over the past decade or so. In 2005, only about one in five workers were an immigrant. So these trends seem to suggest that as the population of older adults continues to grow, we're relying more and more on immigrants to provide the daily assistance that older adults and people with disabilities need.
And certainly as you look at the numerator, as I mentioned, the American population is aging year by year. We're getting older as a society, so that role becomes more and more important.
That's absolutely true. I mean, currently, according to the most recent estimates, about half of people who require long-term care are under the age of 65. But as time goes on and baby boomers continue to age into older adulthood, that population of older adults who require care is getting larger and larger.
So, Stephen, there's been a lot of news lately on temporary protected status, TPS, as the Trump administration moves to revoke it for several countries. You have some numbers on care workers from countries that have had TPS in this country, in particular Haiti. What can you tell us?
So we're not experts in immigration policy, but we do know that our data finds that there are about 35,000 workers from countries for which TPS is soon to expire. Most of these workers are from countries like Haiti and El Salvador. Many of these Haitian workers are primarily working in Florida and in the Northeast. So there are pockets of these immigrants all across the country for which the changes in TPS status could have a real impact.
Now, what about people who come from countries covered by the travel ban, Muslim majority countries? Are those countries contributing a significant amount of labor to the home care and nursing care industry?
That's right. There, according to our estimates, there are about 10,000 workers who come from travel ban countries. Most of them are Iranian or Somali. In fact, Minnesota is one of the places where these Somali workers are settling, and there are already reports that resettlements for these people coming from Somalia are starting to slow down, and that may have an impact on the supply of direct care workers in those areas.
So let's talk a little bit about right now, and then we'll sort of talk about the trajectory of this issue. 35,000 workers from these TPS countries, maybe 10,000 from travel ban countries. 45,000 workers sounds like a small number when you look at the size of the healthcare industry across the country. But is there any evidence that fewer workers right now could start to impact care on the wards, in the nursing homes, in home care?
We are hearing stories of from employers that they're already experiencing a slowdown in job applications. For instance, a provider who typically hired Haitian workers is already seeing that positions that used to be easy to fill are now the job applications are starting to dwindle. And that's going to have the smaller supply of direct care workers can have a real detrimental impact on the consumers who rely on them, the older adults and people with disabilities.
So, Stephen, look, we're used to hearing in the immigration debate in this country how industries like hotels and hospitality, agriculture, restaurants, they rely on immigrants for labor, and that those industries are very nervous about moves to crack down on even legal immigration, big, powerful industries in some cases. But do policymakers, in your view, and even ordinary Americans, have an appreciation for how much care of the elderly and disabled rely on immigrant workers?
Well, I think one big difference between those industries and the long-term care industry is oftentimes this work is being done behind closed doors. It's very intimate and very private. So until people have experiences in the long-term care industry, they may not be aware of the issues that are waiting for them when they need care eventually. So that's one big difference. Certainly, I think that as the workforce is growing at a breakneck pace, I think that it's increasingly common for policymakers to start paying attention to this workforce. We've seen states all across the country enacting policies to support this workforce better and to really stem the high turnover and high vacancies we see in this field.
Well, the population continues to age, Stephen. Under current trends, there's really no stopping it. The nursing homes will be more crowded. More people will need home care. Assisted living will become a more lucrative industry as the decades go by. If we're going to stem or reduce immigration in the long term, where does this all go?
So any efforts to stem the number of direct care workers, the supply of direct care workers can pose some real issues in the future. As you said, the population of older adults continues to grow, and that's fueling just skyrocketing demand for this workforce. The next 10 years alone, we'll need 1.3 million new direct care workers. Among them, 1 million will be home care workers. So that's larger, collectively, that's larger than demand for any single occupation. So we really need to be thinking creatively about how we can better support this workforce and really rethink the way we think about this workforce.
And, you know, I have to tell you before we run, Stephen, in all of the immigration fights that I've covered in Congress and anywhere else, I've really never heard anyone mention the needs of this industry and the needs of Americans going forward. They talk about farms, they talk about restaurants, they don't talk about home care.
That's right. I mean, it's difficult to address these issues, but I think we can start by providing these workers with a living wage, a high-quality, culturally competent training, and in general, just greater respect for their very important role as a foundational element in our long-term care system.
Stephen Campbell, Policy Research Associate with PHI. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been hearing your stories of nursing home aides and other caregivers who came here from another country.
Leah Kurzer, Brooklyn, New York. Our family relied on Abraham, a gentleman from Sierra Leone. His invaluable caring and respect for my father gave our family peace of mind.
Hi, this is Tony from Upper Dublin, Pennsylvania. My husband has cancer and was just in the hospital with a number of medical problems. The home health aide is Haitian. She's absolutely wonderful. I'm not sure if anybody else would do that kind of work in this country.
Hi, my name is Mary Cook, and I am from Limerick, Pennsylvania. My aunt was suffering from terminal brain cancer. Most of her hospice care workers and caregivers were from Liberia.
This is Jermaine from Florida. As a nurse, I rely on these healthcare workers every day. They are smart, well-trained, and dedicated. This ill-conceived immigration policy by the Trump administration puts everyone at risk, not just healthcare workers. Imagine this flu epidemic with less people able to care for everyone. I shudder to think of it.
Your voices on the role that immigrants have played in caring for your loved ones. Well, in nursing homes and care facilities across the country, administrators are seeing the shift firsthand in their workforce. Mary DeGangi is an assistant vice president at the Menorah Center for Rehabilitation and Nursing Care in Brooklyn, New York. She says the change in temporary protected status, especially for her Haitian workforce, could impact the care that patients at her facility receive.
We are overseeing 420 patients on any given day who require a variety of healthcare services from rehabilitation to everyday care. It's really in that everyday care that we all kind of take for granted the things that we can do on our own that our residents cannot take care of, that daily living essential activities that we all have been able to do on our own. So our CNAs in particular are essential to getting that function for our residents to help them to do things better, to enjoy their life a little bit better. And as we start to see a decline in applications and individuals coming into the facility for jobs, we are concerned on how we are going to fill that gap.
Well, I want to talk about that gap. And these CNAs, these are certified nursing assistants, is that right?
That's correct.
And do you have any numbers? Do you know how many CNAs who you oversee are immigrants to this country?
Here in Menorah, in total, we have 600 employees. 400 of them are direct caregivers, and about 250 of them are CNAs. About 10% of the CNAs are currently affected by the current ruling regarding TPS. What I mean by that is that we have approximately 25 individuals who come from Haiti, who are here on temporary protective status, who are in threat of having to leave our country and these jobs.
So we talked a moment ago about that temporary protected status, that TPS that you mentioned, Mary, immigrants from El Salvador, Haiti, Nicaragua, even Sudan, set to lose their status, they may have to leave. Can you talk a little bit more on what you've seen as the direct impact on your workforce in your facility, both for TPS and for other immigration policies that are changing now?
Sure. You know, it's a wide range. I find that first looking at the employees themselves, how are they affected? The thought process that the employees are going through seems to be somewhat evenly split. Some of them are in fear of, pretty constantly in fear of, some sort of threat of deportation, whether it be at the end of TPS or, as you say, you know, maybe they're connected with individuals who are on different statuses, while others are very optimistic. Some of them are very confident. It's all going to work out. I mean, after all, they came to America where dreams come true. These same employees are coming in each and every day to take care of our residents with that same optimistic view. But at the end of the day, you know that there's that little bit of, you see that little bit of shadow of doubt. And that doubt can be a scary thing if you bring that into the healthcare arena.
Have you noticed an effect on elderly patients or other patients that you care for? Is this starting to affect the way people do their jobs?
Well, we're aware of it. We're aware that employees do the best job and there is a connection between patient care and employee satisfaction. And employee satisfaction, there's an element of that as feeling comfortable in your workplace, to be able to come to work without fear. We as a company have done a lot around that. Now, this outside force, something that we can't necessarily control, is a concern. What we see is that most recently, when we weren't sure whether we were going to be able to continue to employ our Haitian population earlier this year, we started to look for our remaining workforce to take on additional shifts, to be prepared to take on additional shifts. And even just the thought of taking on these extra shifts began to affect the satisfaction of our employees. They were imagining how tired they were going to be, how stretched they were going to be. And while we've been lucky enough to have the resources we have, so that it has stopped short of actually affecting any of our residents, we certainly see the potential. And it doesn't stop from happening just because we think about it. It's a lot of work and a lot of effort to ensure that our patients remain unaffected by this.
You know, you really get a sense from talking to you, Mary, how interconnected all of these things are. The American population is aging. More and more of us will be in nursing homes in the future. There's really no way around it. We're fighting over immigration, and these two things are intimately connected. I'm not sure that most people have a real sense of that.
I would agree. I think that the situation in general is often very misunderstood. People either don't think about it, it doesn't necessarily, they don't realize it's going to affect them. But, you know, the TPS and people that we have working for us and that we know in other organizations, they're making a significant contribution. they do actually have work authorization. They're allowed to be working here. They are contributing members of our society. If we begin to lose these valuable contributors, it's not just today, looking at our numbers and our stats today, we are anticipating a rise in the need for these individuals because people are living longer. We have more people to take care of than we ever have before, and that trend is going to continue. And if on the side of the healthcare worker, that number begins to go down, we're creating an ongoing gap that should be a concern to every one of us.
Mary DeGangi with the Menorah Center for Rehabilitation and Nursing Care in Brooklyn, New York. Mary, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.